सही सही रहा है
You feeling okay? Can we go? Can we keep going? Are you okay? Or
I feel alright. Alright.
Yeah. You tell me when you're tired, and we stop. And then I'm here for a few days, so I'll call you. And if you feel better, if you feel okay, I come over. If you don't feel okay, I understand. Okay? Just play it by ear. Rufus wanted me to ask you two questions. He wanted to know if you were actively involved in Lansdale operations. I think the answer is no, but I don't, right? No, yeah. And then he wanted me to ask you if you remember.
I was involved only in planning the enemy.
In planning?
Planning the setup of the 6th Light Infantry Division that we saw a picture of.
Right.
Colonel Arthur D. Jones, the deputy to General Mike O'Donnell.
Right. Okay. And he wanted me to ask you, he remembers, Ruth remembers, radio attacks, VC radio attacks against Lansdale. And he wants to know if you think the Viet Cong were afraid of Lansdale. That is, that they... Yes.
I'm sure they were afraid.
Why? Because
he is a man who get defeated in the Philippines.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got
and
it.
He had a very important mission here. He gives support to him. And then he defeated all the private army set up by the French. And he defeated the French because the French agreed with the Chinese. The Chinese used the French to stay here as a guard against the tiger, because they, while they were busy fighting the bear from the north, they don't want the tiger to sneak through the back door. So that's why they need the French to stay here. They make all kinds of concessions to the French.
Okay.
And that's why they were afraid of Lansdale, because that.
Now, Rufus also, the last question Rufus wanted me to ask you was he wanted to know if you remember, and if you do, then I have a question, that you brought during Tet, the Tet Offensive in 1968, you brought your family to Mark Huss's house.
No, I asked them in case they attack near the place where I live, I will bring my family to take refuge in Booth.
On the road to the airport, the house on the road to the airport, yeah.
That's right, house, it's safer.
But you didn't bring them there, you only
asked. No, not yet, because the second attack happened in Shillong in May. The first one in the 31st of January.
Okay, so, and of course they said yes.
They said yes, yeah. It was so nice.
But you never had to,
but
yeah.
We didn't do it.
Okay.
The last one, we asked Jolene of the know.
Right. That, and she writes about that in the letter.
And then, and when they inform her that the house will not stay, that she made arrangement with the fresh meat there, especially the house behind that house.
Right.
And after that, they said the house not stay either.
Now, I read somewhere, I don't remember which article, made, I don't remember where I read it, but I have it in my notes, in here somewhere. Someone quotes you as saying that if your mother was not alive in 1975, that you would have gone with your family to the United States. Is that true?
Yeah, but that's true, but I called my young brother and come to her to come because I might go. And she said he could not come. So his family, in-law, etc., in Kandahar, and very big risk for him to get on the road from Kandahar to Sarawak. Because at that time, the communists really tried to cut off road number 4, see that?
Right.
Fortunately, he did not come. If he come, his family lose everything there. His father-in-law might be put in jail, because his father-in-law worked for the American consulate in Kandahar, but he refused to to go, and the house will be confiscated. But my young brother stay there, so they dare not do it. The second thing, my mother didn't want to go because her daughter regrouped to North Vietnam in 1954, and she is waiting for her to return. That's why, and as she was, oh, she was 70-year-old, and she had a little bit of heart problem, and but she said too old for her to go.
If you had gone,
and then she was gone, who would take care of her?
Right, but let's assume.
Who would take care of her?
No.
At the end, I had to bring her to live with me at the Continental Palace.
Right, but if your mother had died earlier, if your mother had died in 1973, just hypothetical, would you have gone in 1975?
Oh, yeah, I'd go with my family.
And would you have stayed undercover your whole life, or what would you have done? Would you?
I believe when the war is over, my job is to for liberation of Vietnam. Is that right? And my children very young. My one children. I wish to give them education in the U.S. because I found education in the U.S. was the best for me and my family. And they were, the oldest one was only 12 years old. 12 years old. The youngest one was about 8. About 8. So, and then my wife by herself, first time she went to the U.S. So I prefer to go there, at least to bring them up.
Because your mission would be over. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be over. Because I believe that after the attack by my throat, I knew it was over already.
Okay.
Even Time Magazine knew it was over. That's why Time Magazine asked me where to go. I was reluctant to do it. At the end, I asked the opinion of Bob Shepplin on the 22nd, because the deadline is the 23rd morning. I had to give the answer on the 22nd. The 23rd, the journalist had the evacuation favored by the embassy. Time Magazine got it first. And then that's why everybody asked me to go. Even Malcolm Brown, he came and he worked for New York Times that time. He had a New York Times that time. He came and said to me, "Aunt, are you sure that Time Magazine take care of you? If not, I will take care of you." The same for another one who worked for the bank. At public relations, he used to work for the NBC. Robinson.
Oh yes.
Jim Robinson.
Yes, I have his notes. He had a plane or something, right?
Huh?
He had a plane, right? Or
Jim
Robinson.
That's why he ride a plane to try to save the Vietnamese there. He rented the one, and then to go to Da Nang. And he told me, he said, "Aunt, we will evacuate your family because I was the head of the public relation of the bank. We have the right to do it, and then we will take care of you and your family, etc." I said, "All right, Time Magazine already did it." So I thank him about that. Many other people offered me to do it. Malcolm Brown too.
Okay.
And
so that is, now I understand that. Now, I asked my friend and your friend, Khan, Le Khan.
And we Vietnamese, we have only one mother. You can have many wives, you can have many children.
Right.
But only one mother. According to the Vietnamese teaching, you cannot abandon your mother.
I agree, totally. I understand that. No, I understand. But I was just trying to make sure that I understood that you would have gone to the United States.
Yeah. And I ring back the people and got to the aunt, you can stay back for a while. But meantime, I advise you to evacuate your wife and children. Because I learned that the communists is going to take over Saigon at any cost. They have ready 5,000 tons of indirect fire. That means bomb and then artillery.
But did you think there was a chance, after your wife left, and you stayed behind with your mother, did you think at any time that there was still a chance in the next year that you might be able to go to the United States, or that you knew that your family would have to come back? Did you ever
know? No, I don't know.
You didn't know?
I don't know anything about that.
Okay. All right. Okay. Now, you told me a long time ago that you often speak to me about the document on special warfare that went from Leavenworth to Saigon. You know, the document on special warfare that this was the Kent CIA study on on special warfare. And you got a copy of it.
Yes.
Right. And
it was written by General Lionel McGar.
Yeah, that's written by Lionel McGar.
That's right. And actually, it was prepared by Rufo Phillips and then Landley Brooks when they worked for the, because they got experience here. And they got experience in Malay, they got experience from the French, they got experience from the British in Greece. So the man who knows about that, it was Lansdale people.
And you showed me the revised copy of July 1, 1963. You showed me.
That's one, yeah.
Right. Now, that led you to read Trinquet and to read about counterinsurgency, right? Because you...
No, that one is very important. It's when I learned about the communists to resume the war.
Yes.
Right? When it was at the UN. Was tipped me off by the first of India correspondent.
An Indian correspondent.
Yeah, introduced to me by the rank of...
I was going to ask you that. How did you get tipped off on Resolution 15? That is, you knew in 1959, but the South knew in 1960, but someone told you in New York, and I didn't know who.
In New York, it was the correspondent of the first of India. He heard it from the French. The French, they had connection with the North Vietnamese. And they learned about that. So, and then he was introduced by the Asia Foundation to take good care of me, to show me how the press worked at UN. So that's why every day I went to President of India office to get all kind of paper, release, etc.
This is the Press Office of India. It's called the Press Office of India?
Called the correspondent of Press Trust of India.
Okay.
That's the news agency.
Press Trust of India.
Yeah. New agency.
Okay. Do you remember his name?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
So you must have talked to Mr. Thomas, Howard Thomas. I think he's still alive. He's the head of the Asia Foundation. He gave me the grant. And he invited me to go back immediately after.
You think he's still alive?
I think he's still alive. He's a good friend of Bruce Russell, and a good friend of Frank Makulov, as well as Mr. Robert Shepland. And Stanley Carnot know him very well. He speaks French.
And his last name is Thomas, and his first name is...
Howard Thomas.
Howard Thomas, yes.
And he was replaced by Thomas Howard, the second man, Howard Thomas. And Howard Thomas wanted me to work for them in 1965. And then he went to the embassy, and we were waiting for him at Iran. And then the explosion happened at the embassy, so he lost his eye.
Okay. I think you told me that, all right. So, you got tipped off about Resolution 15.
Yeah. And then I was very sad. You know why?
Why?
I lost already, contact with the communists already. I don't know whether I would go back or not. I learned that all of my leader or handler already captured by Modern Gun. Because my young brother, he was involved and he was not involved, but he was captured too, and he was released. And he sent me the story, codified story, convention, and then let me know that every day already captured. So I didn't know what to do. I learned it right when they were captured. It was at the beginning of 68. Beginning of 58. I went there 57. Beginning 58. And I worried. Didn't know what to do. And then God asked me, what should you do? You know? They may come, they send, etc. And also, I saw in one of the letters, they have the stamp censor. American had that one. When they censor a letter, they stamp on it. I worried more. And then I received a letter from Mr. Macy Brandis with the story how the communist infiltrator from North Vietnam captured in Saigon, including Trang Cong Xuan. He's the uncle of Trang, the girl, the cineast, the girl.
Yes.
Yeah. He worked for USIS. He was captured. He's still alive. He now is still alive. Yeah. So I worry too much. I was a student of journalism. And then they capture the infiltrator into the Vietnamese paper, including one working for Mr. Tucker at USIS, work for, they call it, the magazine. Every month they put out the word Free World. So I worry too much about that. You see it?
Yes.
I don't know what to do now. And then the only way is to either after education, I may fly to South Korea, South America,
Cuba, yeah.
Cuba or other place. That's why I start learning immediately.
Spanish. Yeah.
That's why I got 2 A in Spanish.
Yeah.
2 consecutive semesters. And then, meantime, I could refuse to return because at that time when I went to UN and then Asia Foundation advised me before going back, I should go to the USIA, USIT, at that time called USIT or USOM, and then to ask them if they could give me a free ticket to go back to Saigon instead of buying it, because I went there with my own money. And then they said, fine, but the head of education in charge of foreign students, he said, we found out in the record that you are really good student, but you are poor, and then, you cannot afford to go to school any longer. So that's the reason why we got that you want to go back. I said, that's part of it. The other part, because of my mother died, after my father died, and I could stay away too long. According to Vietnamese tradition, when the father died, the eldest son should stay at home for mourning for 3 years before going. But he allowed me a special case. The second thing is this. I didn't know what to do. So, and he said that, you work at some place, and after 1 year, I give you a full scholarship for 3 years to get your BA degree and an MA degree. Because you already finished 2 years and many extra, you know, credit curriculum, because I went to one summer school too, in order to, I had over 70 units when I got the AA degree at the Orange Coast College. So he said, all right, you need to work for 1 year. And then after that, I gave you a scholarship for $350 a month. A very big salary. So, meantime, in Presidio Monterey, they need one Vietnamese teacher who speaks with a southern accent. And they asked me to stay to work for them at least for 1 year. So, good reason for me to stay on there. At the same time, I was in love a little bit of a girl. So,
yeah.
And then, at the end, I said, no chance. And then, so I better go back, take a chance. Go back because the war already started. So that's why I show you before going. I got a ticket from the USIT already, That night, I would go to the airport the following day. So I went to this Golden Bridge, look at the picture of the
Alcatraz.
Whether I should go back to go into that world, Wisconsin Island, maybe worse than that. Maybe, I can say, maybe this is a bad omen. Maybe the foreign inside, but Lee Meyer sent to me. But at the end I said, no, I have no choice. I better take a risk. So that's why I bought the plan and went back.
And you went back, your family was all waiting for you at the airport?
Yeah, they asked all them to come, including one deputy minister of defense.
And then doctor, and then you knew it was safe when
CN. And stayed home for 1 month to see if anything happened, etc. Everything safe. And then I decided to ask a job for Dr. Tien Abi.
Right.
That is the only way to take a risk. Whether they refuse, that means I was under surveillance. If they agree, then it's all right.
Now, Dr. Tien, he also helped you get your visa, right?
That's right, he helped your visa.
What did he do? I mean, did he just make it go faster?
No, he just gave the order to the immigration officer to give me the visa.
And why did he, and how did you know, this is now, so in 1957, why would Dr. Tien help you?
Because
your family, friends, cousins, or?
Yeah, because my cousin, he worked for Morin Khan in Central Vietnam.
Okay.
Morin Khan is a younger brother, he was sick in Central Vietnam.
Okay. All right.
So this is his recommendation, so Tien agreed. Also, the other one happy too. The American, don't forget about that. Mr. Market Huss. Oh wait, Mr. Mizzy Prentice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Colonel Woodbury. And the most active one was Captain Jack Horner. You remember Mr. Prentice mentioned the name of Jack Horner.
Yes.
And then when Mr. Mizzy Prentice left, he asked one of his friends to continue to give me lessons. This was Conrad Dillo. Mr. Conrad Dillo, he and his wife continued to give me Vietnamese English lesson until I left to the U.S. And they gave me the address. They live in Alexandria. When I stopped the house, they haven't moved in yet. They bought the house there.
Conrad Dillo?
Conrad Dillo, D-I-L-L-O-W. He has two daughters, Martha and Susie. They were very nice. So, not only that, and Colonel Woodbury and then Jack Horner, they checked all the recommendation letters written by the Cato, I mean by the training, etc. And they got all of my files and everything about address and everything, very clear. Particularly the French security, federal security.
So you were helped by Brandis, by Woodbury, and Captain Jack Horner. They all helped you.
That's right.
You know, Brandis.
On the American side, yeah.
Right. Brandis. And how about Lansdale?
For sure, because these people, they know Lansdale. Lansdale already left. But he's also worked, he's in one of his men worked for 3M at that time, and after that for Cato, there's a Colonel Jock Melville.
Yeah.
Jock Melville, Lieutenant Colonel Jock Melville.
Now, Brandis.
All of them worked for Rook Philip and then Lansdale.
Brandis was. Brandis' children showed me that he was working CIA. That's what he was doing.
I didn't know.
Yeah, he was. So he was CIA assigned to Lansdale. His cover was that he was a station.
I know that.
An engineer.
During the war, he was with it. He's very good.
You know who his best friend was? His best friend in the OSS? Uncle Lou Conin.
Oh.
Best friends.
Oh, I see.
And there's pictures of Lou Conin and Elsie Brandis together. They were two of the best friends in the OSS.
Oh.
And his two children, they still call him Uncle Louie.
Oh, I see.
So that's how he got to Vietnam, through Lou Conin. See, I teach you something. Finally, I tell you something you don't know. Yeah. Yeah, Lu Kuni. They were OSS.
So with the recombination, first I will learn their people. That's why Mr. Brandis had to work for me. And then Woodbury, and then Jacques Arnaud. Oh, they went all directions to get me to go to the U.S.
Now, when you were working as a spy, you were in what is known as H-63, right? That was your... Did you know that, H-63? That's what it was called?
No, I began working for them in 1952. I was recruited in 51.
No, no, I don't mean that. No, not the year. H, the letter, H-63. That is, you worked for the Regional Intelligence Bureau, which had... which was...
I didn't know anything.
You didn't know anything about that.
Know,
yeah.
That's their own invention.
Right.
And they would tell me what I did.
Now, did you know only one of two, there were only two intelligence offices, you and Ba Kwok, Dang Tran Duc?
Oh yeah, I knew him before he was elect. I knew him in advance.
You were both promoted to the rank of general.
He didn't know me, but I knew him.
Right.
Because I was tipped up by the Vietnamese intelligence and then Dr. Thien too. Because he worked for Dr. Thien Ha.
Right. He worked for Dr. Thien.
And then he worked for the Vietnamese CEO.
Right.
And then the Vietnamese working for the CIA, he told me, be careful about that guy. I said, why you don't move people capture him? He said, no, we use him later.
And the other person was Win Van Tha, Buddha Tha. Win Van Tha, he was in the CIO also. So same guy, Win Van Tha. He was known as Buddha Tha, Win Van Tha, T-A.
T?
Win Van Tha, T-A.
T-H?
T-A.
T-A. Bah, that's the
same guy.
Right. Same guy. Right. So his name at the CIO, Tha.
It was very close to Tien. It was close to Tien.
He was introduced by the Catholic priest to work for the
right.
As agent, not close, very close, not very close.
But Tien hired both. He hired both you and this guy. He hired both of you.
This one, when this guy returned from as refugee.
Okay.
Was introduced by a Catholic priest. He's Catholic himself.
Now, Frank McCullough told me that he never, that he always thought that Beverly Deep was CIA. He said he still thinks one day people will find out that she was working for the agency. You don't think so, right? Frank McCullough thinks that Beverly Deep was working for the CIA.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Right. And he thinks that's why she has disappeared. You know, she doesn't really want to communicate with anyone anymore, especially she doesn't want to talk about you and other things.
I told my wife, my children too. She was the only one who was allowed by me to write anything about me.
Right.
She's very fair. I promised her to work for her until the day she left Vietnam. With money or not money, it's all right too. Because I have a lot of admiration and respect and love for her. I consider her as a member of the family, a sister.
So
she's very fair, very nice, very intelligent. All the Vietnamese who planned a coup go and talk to us, including Jean Tran Van Don and the other one. And in case they're in danger, they come to her, ask for help and refuge. She did it. Even the father and mother of Madame Ngo Dinh Nhu, before they died, before they were killed by their own children, they had something with Beverly.
Oh, I wish she was. She doesn't. She won't. She. She's the only one who won't talk to me.
She's very good.
Yeah.
Very good. She's really good.
Now I have a list of the people whose lives you saved. I can only. I can't tell you. I promised you I would not write about some of this, but when people want to know why you were so kind to Americans,
very simple.
Well, no. You saved the Brandises. You saved Nick Turner. You saved Germain. You saved Van San. You saved Dr. Tien. And you saved Beverly Deep. Good record.
You see, I had to walk. I walk over for two reasons. One reason is that she's so nice today. She needs someone good to have her. The second thing is because she's lonely. She's the only one girl. Her parents they live in Nebraska. And
right.
I want a lonely woman, you know, without protection. And she's very risky. You know, in this world, the world of tiger, and she's very innocent. You know, she believes in not everything these people, you know, they're trying to fool her, etc. And this kind of thing, I cannot do it. Even Vroom, you know, she trusts, I introduced Vroom to work for her. And then Vroom, he was a little bit biased because he has too much admiration for the communists. He was anti-communist. That's why he worked for the CIA. His brother was killed by the Third International. Very
right.
Intelligent.
No, that, I had that story. Did Vroom have a drug problem?
Yes.
Yes. Opium.
Opium, that's it.
I found that. You know how I found it?
Always no opium. At the end, he quit that.
Right. Bob Shapiro was very, very concerned about his opium problem, and I found this in the letters that Chaplin wrote. I have Chaplin's letters, always, and between him and his son, and about how, you know, opium is just killing him. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
Very brilliant.
Yes. Now you knew Dennis Warner too, right? The Australian
Dennis.
Australian correspondent, Dennis Warner.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
All right. Now. I know you're going to get tired, so I can stop soon, but I don't understand what this means. You wrote it. When I asked you to read what I wrote, you said,
yeah.
No, there's a Vietnamese saying.
Vietnamese saying.
I asked Khan, my friend.
Not to trying to correct anything the other people wrote.
Okay, you don't correct it, but what does it have to do with your mother,
just
your wife?
Suggest or give some idea, that's all. But not to correct it.
And how do you spell?
They always have a tendency to defend their own writing, but they never appreciate their own wife. For them, wife of the other people are more lovable than their own wife.
Oh, so you don't appreciate your own wife, you don't appreciate your own writing, is that it?
You appreciate your own writing, but not so much your own wife. And compare them with the wife of the other.
And so what is this? Khan didn't, my friend Khan and your friend Khan, you know, Mr. Khan from Texas Tech. Khan?
Oh, Khan.
He never heard of this.
Oh.
So it's Van Min Vo
Val Noi, Vardam and Wife.
N G
N I N H. N G U A.
A.
O A.
O A.
N G O A.
The
U and the O have whisker or not.
So it's Van Min Vo N G U O A. Okay, so you appreciate your own writing, but you don't appreciate your own wife. Okay. So therefore it means, no one should touch my writing. I don't want to be blind.
You correct it. If I'm editor,
okay.
I correct. So you are mad, you take hell your pen, you take blonde the pen into my own eye.
Okay. Now, you once wrote this. This is your handwriting. Why did you write that? Do you remember? You want my glasses? We were talking about Dr. Tien, and you wrote that.
Oh, yeah. After the coup d'etat. That's right. After the coup d'etat, the fake coup d'etat. And then Tien would like me to be a publisher of one paper. I refused to do it. I said, I want to be a reporter only. So he gave it to the other people.
And that was in 1962?
62. After the fake city coup. That's the kind of warning to them.
Okay.
store and then Wen Danbei was that head of that one.
All right, okay.
And Wen Danbei was the cover of Dr. Tien. He worked for Gordon Gun.
Okay.
And then Tien lived in his house.
All right.
When the coup happened, and then Tien moved and lived in his house. And Levin Tai just died. Levin Tai worked for Dr. Tien too.
Okay.
Yeah, but he fooled the CIA in North Vietnam. Very wrong story, fabricated one. That's why the Americans were very mad at him.
Okay.
Particularly Carol Ingram.
Okay.
Well, he had our CIA in Hanoi at that time. And then Nguyen Bae, he's the head of the pacification, etc., and then the school of Cadre. He worked for the American too.
Okay.
He was with the VC. And then Vuong, so during the coup d'etat, the attack, the first attack in January 68, it was a curfew in Saigon. So Vuong, Bae, I, and then Lu Kunin, Andre Sauvageau, he went out, he knocked the door at the Chinese restaurant near the American embassy, own embassy, to open and to serve dinner. So we had dinner. After that, we found out the attack in Jordan again.
Okay.
Cao Xiao is the one. Actually, he worked for the VC, but he worked also for the Chinese, Japanese, or Kapitai. And that's why he got his story of the coup d'etat for the VC. And then he worked exactly for Trương Chinh. And then he was captured by the Vietnamese security, and then by the Ngoi gun. And then he always in jail. At the end, instead of evacuating to the US, Nguyen agreed to do it, even though Nguyen knew that he worked for the VC before. And that's why they dismissed him from Nguyen. Yeah. And then and they pay him everything. At the end, they agreed to evacuate him and his family, but he refused to go. And he, when the communists come, he was put in jail again. It was the Amnesty International.
Yes.
Intervened to have him released, and he went to
Denmark or
he went to Belgium, where he made a very strong press conference in insulting the communists, as a betrayer, etc. This kind of thing. And this is why he refused to come to Vietnam completely at any cost. If she come, the only one person that she interested to come and see is me.
Yeah.
Because when he went in jail,
you were the only one, right?
No one come to see him.
You were the only one, yeah. And what is
she is going to die soon, because she had she's now 2 years old now. She was born 1935. This is Cao Yao. And his two children look for the American children.
Oh, really?
That's
over. Did she come back to Vietnam ever?
No, no. Never. She would never. His young brother just died. So that's why the picture of four.
Yeah. I got that.
Two. Two, he worked for Akhil Bansi and he worked in Liberia.
Next week I will see your friend Ambassador Fong in Texas Tech. I go to see him. Fong in Texas Tech. He told me you called him about a month ago, 2 months ago. But the rumor was that he was coming back, but he told me you called him, yeah.
His sister-in-law didn't come back
to that. Is it safe for him to come back, you think? Is it okay? Is it safe for him to come back?
I don't know the situation. But he should have some medical citizenship.
Yeah.
Like we got get, he refused to have it. But when he decided to return here, the American advisor to fix American citizenship.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
But that's right. I think he needs to return right.
Well, he should be able to do that.
He should do it.
Yeah. I'll tell him when I see him.
Yeah. Because you never know about his people. They're very whimsical. Particularly own people. Own thinking and like rocks, you cannot change. They change with their mouth, not with.
Yeah. Now what is this? You wrote that.
Yeah, let's see now. He's an engineer.
Engineer?
He's a graduate on part engineer of bridge and then they call it Bonshot Day. It's a very important degree. He's a, his wife is a cousin of, she's the uncle of Nguyen Thai.
Oh, okay. All right.
He worked for Modi Diem in Central Vietnam purpose. And then Modi Diem as urbanism in Saigon. After the attack of that offensive, he knew that finished. That's why he saw this out in front of the ballot.
Okay.
And he worked for UN. And his wife and children now in UN. And I know about that. He's the man who introduced me to work for Nguyen Thai.
Right.
In case I couldn't go to UN.
This I know. Remember, look, many years ago you wrote that. I know what this is. That I understand. Many notes. I look for my... I look for that Martin Collins. Okay, I let you. I let your voice. You sound tired, so I can. I can let you rest now. Titi, my student, told me the story that you told her to tell me that your brother did not write a code message. That he wrote you a story about the jungle and two. You told my student, my research student, that your brother wrote a coded message to you, but in the form of a story.
That story, yeah. That would be a kind of legend.
Right, yes. I thought that
two
was very...
Two brothers who were captured by the monster in the jungle.
Right, exactly, yes. I thought
that's
I had...
That's why I know one.
I must have left.
When he was released from jail. You better read this one to know whether Bill Lai or Mr. Mary Lai are alive. Mary Lai, he worked with Bill about 1969 about the Vietnamization of the war, etc. And he also mentioned that how strong the South Vietnamese were. That's why they lost.
Now, one of the things I write about in my book is the Battle of Apat, you know? And David Halberstam said to me, David Halberstam asked me, why did An get a medal for Apat? He wasn't even there. And I said, well, he didn't know he got a medal until later, and the reason he got it, though, was that his reports on counterinsurgency and on the American special warfare, special war helped Hanoi to understand what the Americans were up to, and they used his reports as the basis for the battle at Ap Bac to take on the American helicopters and to win a rousing victory to show, because things were not going good at that time for the communists and that. That your reports helped to lead up to the battle at Ap Bac. Is that correct?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so he thought that was very interesting. And
then after the fall, they know that the story is finished. That's why they had to overthrow Modizim.
Right. And, oh, so that's a good point. So after Abbach,
then you can see that program of special force, special warfare is finished, already ended. Because of them, refused to listen to them. That's why all kind of program work out like the Tzadik Hamlet program, and everything, him fuck up everything. And you better read that one to see it. Jim did it.
Maybe I should read it tonight and give it back to you tomorrow.
Yeah, you can read it tonight.
Can I read it tonight?
Yeah.
I'll read it, thank you. I bring it back, I always do. And then I told Halberstam that...
Then not only that, the other side, they worked out a plan already. They were so damn stupid. They mentioned about that while they're teaching their unit to do it. They put the world in a circle like this, this big. Top secret, but they had many copies given at the division level, and in one operation we got two copies, one for McVeigh, the other one they gave me. I said, look at these people, they're so stupid. Why they had the plan, etc., and they let the American know about that.
This is the top secret plan for... How to counter the Abbach. Yeah. How to counter special
counter
warfare, right.
When they learn American will have a special warfare here, when they started the military attack in 1959, is it right? The Chinese and then the Russians refused to let them carry the war in the South, particularly Chinese. No, don't, because the Chinese would have independent South Vietnam completely.